Hello, thank you everybody for being here this week again to join and dive into A Course in Miracles. So as we usually start, let's just spend a few moments together in silence, putting aside everything that we have been doing, thinking, planning, putting everything aside and creating space for spirit. And taking a few mindful breaths. This holy instant, we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. And with that intention to allow spirit to speak through all of us, because we're all teachers and learners, coming together to our perception of this time and place. All right. So I will just go over again where we are in the Sparkle Edition. We are in Chapter 8, page 181. It is going to be the first full paragraph on page 181, so it's a little bit down on the page. It's the will. It starts out with the will to unite must be unequivocal. In the original edition, it is chapter 8, paragraph 31, starts out the same way. And then in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it is chapter 8, part 4, the gift of freedom. Paragraph 5, sentence number 6. It's starting mid-paragraph in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition. And actually, what I'm going to do is just read the paragraph preceding this one, just since we're starting mid-section. So rather than try to find it again, you can just listen, and I'll mention when I'm beginning the next paragraph where we're picking up from last week. So we were talking about a bunch of different really, really fantastic ideas in the course about how one of the themes that we left off with was about rehabilitation. In other words, you know, accepting the undoing of fear in our own minds. And it talks about how this rehabilitation is a collaborative venture. We have to, want also to be healed and take an active part in the process. So the paragraph before that we already read from last week is, I can tell you what to do, but this will not help you unless you collaborate by believing that I know what to do. Only then will your mind choose to follow me. Without your will, you cannot be rehabilitated. Motivation to be healed is the crucial factor in rehabilitation. Without this, you are deciding against healing, and your veto of my will for you makes healing impossible. If healing is our joint will, unless our wills are joined, you cannot be healed. This is obvious when you consider what healing is for. Healing is the way in which the separation is overcome. Separation is overcome by union. It cannot be overcome by separating. So I'm going to jump right in now to our first paragraph for this week. The will to unite must be unequivocal, or the will itself is divided or not whole. Your will is the means by which you determine your own condition, because will is the mechanism of decision. It is the power by which you separate or join and experience pain or joy accordingly. My will cannot overcome yours, because yours is as powerful as mine. If it were not so, the sons of God would be unequal. All things are possible through our joint will, but my will alone cannot help you. Your will is as free as mine, and God himself would not go against it. I cannot will what God does not will. I can offer you my will to make yours invincible by this sharing, but I cannot oppose yours without competing with it and thereby violating God's will for you. So I'll pause there. And actually, I'll just jump right in. And please, anybody, if you have any insights or examples or anything that stands out to you from this paragraph, by all means, please jump in and share. I'll start out by saying that one of the thoughts that occurred to me as we were reading this, let me see if I can find the sentence now, where it says, all things are possible through our joint will, but my will alone cannot help you. So that's almost, that stands out to me, that part of the sentence, my will alone cannot help you. What is God's will for us but perfect joy and perfect peace? And Jesus is saying here that his will alone cannot help us. We have to want that also, joy and peace. And then all things are possible through our joint united wills together. However, we're so confused about what it is that we actually will, we oftentimes are asking for things that are not joy and peace. And so this makes me think of those times when we feel like our prayers are unanswered. And the Course talks about this in other places, you know, when we're asking for specific outcomes or specific events to happen, a lot of times, what are we praying for? But we're praying for a specific form, which, what is that, in a sense, kind of doing, but affirming that the body is real, that it's worth, you know, protecting, it's worth saving. And Jesus is here saying that that's actually not, you know, what's going to bring us peace and joy. So when, you know, we're asking for certain things in form, we could look at that. I'm sort of making a leap here, saying that that's something, you know, that would be an example here where it says, you know, Jesus' will alone cannot help us, because Jesus' will, God's will, is peace and joy. So it's that confusion that we have as to what that really is that we need to hand over to allow that perception shift to come forward. So that was sort of a big thing that came forward for me in that, and I'm hoping that makes sense.
I think it makes a lot of sense. But
good.
Yeah. It also seems in any situation where you want a certain outcome, you really I guess the best thing is just to do nothing. And try not to even think about it.
Do nothing of our small self.
Yeah.
And I love that you just said that, because I was actually just having a conversation with somebody about dating relationships, and this person was just talking about the difficulties in trying to figure out, like, if this person has the right characteristics that they want. And we ultimately, it was perfect, because we came to the exact same thing, that you need do nothing. You just need to keep handing it over. You don't need to do anything or figure anything out of your small self. You just need to, again, keep handing over whatever it is that is coming up, whether it's, you know, a desire, a longing, a belief, you know, whatever it may be, because you're absolutely right, Paula. We need do nothing. Just let, you know, our false perceptions be transformed for us. And we do have to actively participate in that process by actively handing those things over.
You know, the ego really wants to build stories around all of it. Why we should continue to think about it, what we should do, how it should.
Yes.
And it can be very challenging to just say, look, I haven't got a clue as to how this should turn out. I certainly believe in miracles and obviously need one. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then letting it go to the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
I've got a little situation going on in the background where this just fits so beautifully. And I've just watched my mind how it just keeps wanting to go back to it and wanting to replay it and wanting to rehash it and wanting it to turn out a certain way. And And it's like, oh, the one thing is the Ho'oponopono prayer, because that's really a good way to kind of break the ego's nonsense, you know,
definitely
by starting to repeat that.
Yes.
And just repeat it and repeat it and repeat it. and you can't repeat that prayer and listen to the ego at the same time.
Oh, you're so right.
You know, it kind of really shuts it up.
Uh-huh.
Very powerful. Very, very powerful.
It is so powerful. And you reminded me, too, with it's funny because it always cracks me up that I teach, and I've mentioned this before in the call, that my one class that I'm teaching right now at TCNJ is about the DSM, which is the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, and you know, talking about like addiction and obsessions and compulsions and that sort of thing. We are absolutely all addicted to thinking with our small selves, thinking on our own. You know, like you're saying, Paula, like, you know, you want to hand it over, but it's like the pull to keep trying to hash it out and figure it out for ourselves is like cocaine, you know?
It really is.
It's like a drug. And so, again, we're building that willingness. We're developing the trust by practicing these Course principles to start to unlearn what we've learned and come to see that, you know, we don't know what we thought made us happy actually doesn't. And so, you know, we're actually learning that when we do put those things into spirit's lap, that can be really where our true rest and peace can come from. That's what we're learning.
I think last week when we read about the power and glory belonging to God alone, so do you. God gives whatever belongs to him because he gives of himself, and everything belongs to him. Giving of yourself is the function he gave you. Fulfilling it perfectly will teach you what you have of him, and this will teach you what you are in him. You know, that's like, yeah, I really want that. So that makes it a little bit easier, you know, when the ego is, you know, trying to get that your total attention.
Right. I know we've talked before about, like, having one foot in the ego's camp and the other foot in the Holy Spirit's camp and just, you know, kind of still being divided. And I was actually, I know I've talked before about Nook Santos because I really resonate with how she teaches the Course. And she used a very similar image, but it was a foot in each canoe. So a foot in the ego's canoe and a foot in the Holy Spirit's canoe. And if you think about how unsteady that is, if you have one foot, you know, in two different canoes, if you're spread in like two different little rowboats, just how, you know, how really unsteady that's going to be. So it's about, again, that learning that, you know, we really are developing that trust. What you just said, Paul, about wanting that, the more we see that we want that, the more certain, you know, that's bringing our will back to where it really belongs. And that's the same thing as God's will, which is that we really want to be happy. So we really actually want both of our feet in the Holy Spirit's canoe. It's going to be a much nicer ride than trying to keep, you know, one foot in each canoe and being having a pretty unsteady stance.
Absolutely.
I thought that was a pretty cool image. Any other thoughts or examples or anything that's come up so far for anybody?
When Paula said, this is Claudie, when Paula said the part of just do nothing, I can't even say it. I can't remember exactly how she said it, but I just remember in that moment it was like like the clouds parted and something opened. And it's funny because I know I've heard that so many times, but for some reason, just right now when she said it, I was like, yeah, like that's so true. And I think it's only because this week I was totally in that cycle of like the ego's drawing me in. And I also like how she said it comes up with all these stories. And it's true. Like, I'm like, man, it says a lot of nonsense. So I remember thinking, like, man, my ego is just saying so much nonsense, but it was like I was biting in, I was like buying into some of it. So every time I bought into it, I was like, okay, Holy Spirit, you know, the miracle, and the miracle would come, and then all of a sudden I'd be, you know, buying into it again, and I was like, oh my gosh, I need another miracle. So it was one of those weeks, like, I had a very miraculous week just because I knew, like, every moment I needed so many miracles. But, like, when I heard her say that, I was like, yeah, that was just huge for me, because I just realized, yes, sometimes everything, not sometimes, all the time, everything becomes so much more simpler when I choose to do nothing, and I'm like, okay, I'm done. Uh-huh. You know, when I just get to that moment where I'm finally like, okay, I'm done. Like, I've tried. And, like, for this past week, it was some financial things. And it wasn't like, I don't know what my issue was, but it was like I was calculating and recalculating and calculating and recalculating. And I was calculating so much that I was, like, really stuck in the obsession of just calculating. And I remember now looking back thinking, like, it was just complete insanity. So now that I heard that, just do nothing, I thought, it just, that's how I feel about it. Like, that sigh I just took, that's exactly what it feels. Like, it's like all of a sudden this peace comes over you of like, oh yeah, I'm done. I don't have to do anything about it. Okay, that's great. You know, I can just let it go.
Yeah. Clary, hearing you say, okay, I'm done. Like, and that to me, the same feeling that you just expressed with that sigh,
oh, yeah, you got
I
it.
Get
you got
that
it
same feeling from those three words. Okay, I'm done.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
Yeah.
Like, finally letting it go. Finally handing it over.
Yeah.
I'm done. I need to know.
Yeah.
Love it.
There's this one line that says, my will cannot overcome yours because yours is as powerful as mine.
Mm.
But I think so many times in my own life, you know, even before I came across the Course, it was like stuff would happen and I'd be like, well, why is this happening? Like, something outside myself is controlling it, right? And this just makes me think of, again, the Course is saying there's no separation.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, on a grander scale, whatever's happening outside, we've already decided. So if something has happened, it's because your higher self has already made a decision, and God, Spirit, you know, love is honoring that, you know. So it really helps me to trust when my ego is doing that crazy talk, like, why don't I have this, or why can't I have that, or, you know, whatever the dialogue is. Because
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Our egos always think in terms of the absence of something, but really, the Holy Spirit knows, you know, there's a reason for everything.
I love that you highlighted that sentence. My will cannot overcome yours because yours is as powerful as mine. How awesome. Like that also, too, I feel like some people, I know I'll speak for myself in the past, the will of God sounded like something definitely separate from me and foreign and like something that I had no idea, you know, what it was. And with that sentence, you know, my will cannot overcome yours because yours is as powerful as mine. Wow. What equality there, you know, how powerful our minds really, really are. That's pretty cool. I'm glad you highlighted that, Deidre, and added those thoughts. Thank you. Another sentence that stands out to me that I just want to mention because it's going to come up again later. In terms of when we're talking about ego backlashes, actually it's within the last sentence. I can offer you my will to make yours invincible by this sharing. Just with, you know, Jesus with Spirit offering us his will, it makes our will invincible. It means that we are invincible to any kind of retaliation from the ego because we're siding with Spirit instead. And that's actually something that will come up if we get to the end of this section today. Let's take the next paragraph. So hopefully we will get to the end of the section today. I don't know. Because it's almost been a half an hour already and we still only hit one paragraph. I love it when that happens. Okay. Nothing God created can oppose your will, as nothing God created can oppose his. God gave your will its power, which I can only acknowledge in honor of his. If you want to be like me, I will help you, knowing we are alike. If you want to be different, I will wait until you change your mind. I can teach you, but only you can choose to listen to my teaching. How else can it be if God's kingdom is freedom? Freedom cannot be learned by tyranny of any kind, and the perfect equality of all God's sons cannot be recognized through the dominion of one will over another. God's sons are equal in will, all being the will of their Father. This is the only lesson I came to teach, knowing that it is true.
Could you? Wow, that's... Oh, that's a lot.
It is a lot. There's always so much in all these paragraphs. I feel like we could spend hours just talking about, you know, even just one of these sentences. But, so... I guess actually the main thing that jumps out at me, at least right from the get-go at this moment, is in the beginning where it says, if you want to be like me, I will help you, knowing that we are alike. If you want to be different, I will wait until you change your mind. So again, there's that recognition where we can join our will with spirit and come to, you know, again, be undoing those blocks to truth in our own mind, knowing that that's going to restore us to the same as Jesus is saying here, because we're capable of everything that he was capable of. That's what he's teaching us through the Course. And yet, if we want to just delay and choose to be different and be separate and be limited and, you know, be identified with our small selves, he's simply going to wait until we change our mind. It's that eternal, eternal patience. So it goes on to say, Jesus can teach us, but only we can choose to actually listen to that teaching. So it's going to be up to us whether or not we're actually going to listen to what's coming forth within us. And again, for folks, you know, who maybe don't resonate with the name Jesus, this is going to be any kind of internal, you know, experience that comes from, you know, a higher self, from a spiritual connection. So it's that teaching that comes from within that we can choose to listen to or not.
And in a sense, we also have to wait very often.
Can you elaborate more?
For his direction.
Mm-hmm. Because we can't. Yeah, yeah.
Because sometimes I get very impatient with that, and it's like, all right, you know, come on. Help! And it's that waiting, that being patient and not demanding anything and doing nothing and just waiting, for me, seems to be very important because I, you know, I'm constantly going headlong into things. And it's like, no, if, you know.
Right.
Got to step back and let him lead the way.
Yeah, definitely. Patience is, I think, a huge piece that we have to learn. And also, too, sometimes it is just that we do have to wait. Other times it's that, you know, the Course actually says that, you know, all the answers have already been given us. It's just that we haven't accepted it yet. We're still too blocked to hear the answer come right away. And so sometimes I know for me, I feel like part of the patience piece is, you know, when I'm feeling impatient, my ego's, that has to be ego, right? That has to be the ego being in the forefront of my awareness. And so what, you know, as I'm working on developing that patience, what am I doing? But, you know, allowing another little aspect of my ego to be undone so I can then see that answer that's already been given.
Been given, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, God withholds nothing.
Sometimes, you know, I can kind of confuse a lot of these issues. I had an experience on Friday with one of the technicians that I work with, and boy, he and I really locked horns. And I didn't hold back. I mean, I was very angry, and I let him know it. And then he backed off, and I set an intention right then and there that I was going to just love him from that point moving forward in my mind. You know, I did really have to say what I had to say. And even though it came out in a kind of a nasty way, the whole situation turned out so nice, I can't even tell you.
Wow.
I cannot even tell you. So, you know, if I think what I'm trying to say here is if you just, you know, even when you're angry or even when you're having conflict with somebody, if you can somehow make that decision to go with the Holy Spirit and just say, I love this person. I don't care. Help, you know, just help.
Right, yep.
And trust. And boy, it's amazing.
It is amazing. That asking for help, I feel like, is just such a key part. And actually, that's something that came to mind to me today because I started asking again. I realized yet again that I slipped back into trying to figure it out myself. And a course quote, when I started asking for help, came forward, and it's, call upon him. Oh, shoot. Am I going to be able to say it now? Call upon him who's... Shoot, I don't think I'm going to be able to recite it. Call upon him whose heaven has something to do with, let him call upon heaven for you. I'm not going to be able to say the whole quote now. I'm missing the whole middle part of it. But we're calling upon Spirit to call upon heaven for us. That's the meaning of the quote, even though I can't remember the exact words. And so we, you know, again, don't know how to necessarily choose love. We're calling upon Spirit with that intention to love and letting Spirit, you know, use that for the highest purposes, the highest good. Call upon him, for heaven is at his call, and let him call upon heaven for you. That's what it is.
Where is that? Is that from the Course?
It is from the Course, yes. I could search for it for you if you want to know where it is. Let's take the next paragraph.
Well, can I say something before you
switch?
Sorry.
Yeah,
I wanted
please.
To, it's kind of, the line that stood out to me, and it might sound kind of random, is this is the only lesson I came to teach. Like, that really stuck out. And I felt like, for me, I deeply do connect with Jesus being my internal experience or my enlightened master. I grew up in the Christian faith, so even though I had lots of issues with it growing up, I feel like the Course really helped me reconcile, which I think for some people, I know it can be trippy because I know sometimes it's hard to explain it all, but I know for some of the, and I try not to read what other people say about the Course because then I get kind of mixed up and I just allow myself to be guided. But I know that it can be controversial, quote unquote, let's say, once you go deeper into the language. But for me, definitely, it's what brought me back to a spiritual guide that I consider to have been there for me from, like, you know, whatever my human experience has been. So for me, that part right there, this is the only, like, I felt like that was, that's definitely like Jesus' energy to me completely coming out. Only because I feel like the more I've connected with this idea of really releasing and realizing that there is only one Son and there's only one Sonship and it's all a part of God, it's actually helped me connect a lot better to my community. So, like, my community around me, it's Christian-based. So before, my ego would have a field day with that. You know what I mean? Like, it would definitely use that as a separation. You know, like, oh, they're crazy, they're Christian. Like, any little thing they would do, like, see, these crazy Christians. And, I mean, that was really a part of my journey for a really long time. And, like, it took time to heal. It wasn't, like, instant, but the more I did this releasing, you know, I don't know, something happened this year and I experienced like many shifts where I finally got to the place where I got that I actually could allow the Holy Spirit to speak through me. And like, because of, I guess, who I am, the language can be very, I don't know how to explain it, but it's like if I release it, I can speak in a language that connects with everybody, even though, you know, I know from my experience that I studied the Course and whatever, and maybe they're studying something different, but we can find some kind of connection and we can become that one healed mind. That line really was powerful to me because I just know that I've been more involved in other groups that are, you know, of specific religion based, and it's awesome to see that I can show up with the Holy Spirit and be like, okay, ego, we're going to leave you at the door. We're not going to be anybody crazy. And when I remember that this is the only lesson Jesus was here to teach, and I truly believe that it wasn't about, like, let's decide to teach something that turns into, like, 100 different kinds of religion that only then become a reason to, like, fight with each other and tell each other how we're wrong and the other one's right, you know, but if we can actually, we can still hold on to that, but if we could release and get back to what he's saying here about, you know, freedom, and it's not about tyranny, and it's really about getting back to the oneness, and this is how I understood this paragraph, then I think that, I do believe that's what he was here to teach.
Awesome.
And I think that's very integral in the message of the course.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the, I mean, that's how I feel about the course. And I think that for me personally, my own journey has helped me very much reconcile. And actually it's taking me deeper into the beliefs that I have, like it's taking me deeper into what I understood to be the truth as a child. So, like, instead of what people say, like, oh, it teaches opposite, I feel like not really. I actually feel like it actually deepened the whole experience on another level, because I was able to start experiencing things, you know, viscerally for myself, and not just as, something I read in a book or some story that I, you know, read.
Right, right. Oh, that was beautiful, Clary. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That really, I feel like you really hit on some super key points and said them so eloquently with what this paragraph is saying. That's really awesome. And there was something that you said that I was going to respond to, and it flew out of my head. So, oh well, it'll come back, I'm sure. Thank you. And you know what? Before we tackle the next paragraph too, I'll just mention the reference to the quote that I just said, and I only have the reference for the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, but it would be chapter 16, part 6.
I don't know where my pen went. Wait a minute. Oh, here it is. Okay, chapter 16.
Chapter 16, part 6, paragraph 12. And if I could I just read this paragraph to everybody where this comes
yes.
from? We won't worry about flipping to that page in the book unless you already did so, but you can just listen. And again, this is, if you want to reference it later, chapter 16, part 6, paragraph 12 in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition. The Holy Spirit asks only this little help of you. Whenever your thoughts wander to a special relationship which still attracts you, enter with him into a holy instant, and there let him release you. He needs only your willingness to share his perspective to give it to you completely. And your willingness need not be complete, because his is perfect. His task is to atone for your unwillingness by his perfect faith, and it is his faith you share with him there. Out of your recognition of your unwillingness for your release, his perfect willingness is given you. Call upon him, for heaven is at his call, and let him call on heaven for you. I feel like I could almost cry. This is just hitting me on such a deep level right now that, again, you know, we've talked on the call before about, you know, acknowledging our own unwillingness, acknowledging our resistance. And what is this saying? But it's doesn't matter if there's unwillingness. Our willingness doesn't have to be perfect. It really is just that tiny, tiny bit of willingness. We really ask to do so little. And I just feel like that's an absolutely, when I quickly searched for this and saw what paragraph that sentence came from, I knew I had to read it, because I have this, you know, tacked up on my wall, because it's just such a powerful, powerful paragraph. So thank you for letting me share that.
Well, I'll tell you, I can vouch for that, because on Friday when I was in the middle of this push-pull with this guy out on the floor, just that little bit of willingness to decide, nope, I said what I needed to say, and now I love him, and that's it. And he just really, really, that willingness just mm-hmm. shifted everything around.
Awesome.
Everything.
Wow.
Had very nice outcome.
Beautiful. Oh, wow. Let's take the next paragraph. When your will is not mine, it is not our Father's. This means that you have imprisoned yours and have not let it be free. Of yourselves, you can do nothing, because of yourselves, you are nothing. I am nothing without the Father, and you are nothing without me, because by denying the Father, you deny yourself. I will always remember you, and in my remembrance of you lies your remembrance of yourself. In our remembrance of each other lies our remembrance of God. And in this remembrance lies your freedom, because your freedom is in him. Join then with me in praise of him, and you whom he created. This is our gift of gratitude to him, and he will share with all his creations, which he will share with all of his creations. I'm going to read that sentence again. This is our gift of gratitude to him, which he will share with all his creations, to whom he gives equally whatever is acceptable to him. Because it is acceptable to him, it is the gift of freedom, which is his will for all his sons. By offering freedom, you will be free. Paula, I actually feel like your example sums up this paragraph. By offering that colleague freedom, by offering to love him and not hold him to the chains of judgment, you know, that you had, by offering to release those, your freedom, you establish your own freedom.
Oh, absolutely.
Came back to you, and I feel like, you know, your example is perfect for this paragraph.
Really, and everybody who was involved, I mean, there were other people there, like my supervisor, and other people who don't like conflict. And honestly, by the time the whole situation was over with, it was really, everybody was in a good mood.
Wow.
So it's really quite something.
That is. The sentence, in our remembrance of each other lies our remembrance of God. That's, you know, when we are willing to see that truth in our brother, that's when we remember who we really are. It's heaven. We enter it hand in hand. We don't go alone.
Really, really takes trust.
Mm-hmm.
This is the development of trust.
Absolutely.
Book. It is truly the development of trust, because at one other time I would never have been able to really allow my feelings and allow what needed to be said and trust that by just letting go and turning it over to spirit and seeing the love in this person. I mean, it's really amazing. It's amazing.
It's awesome.
It is awesome.
Oh, wow. Let's take the next paragraph. Freedom is the only gift you can offer to God's sons, being an acknowledgement of what they are and what he is. Freedom is creation because it is love. What you seek to imprison, you do not love. Therefore, when you seek to imprison anyone, including yourself, you do not love him and you cannot identify with him. When you imprison yourself, you are losing sight of your true identification with me and with the Father. Your identification is with the Father and with the Son. It cannot be with one and not the other. If you are part of one, you must be part of the other, because they are one. So for me, this idea of imprisoning ourselves, that to me is any of these stories we tell ourselves, any of these judgments, any of these, you know, beliefs about ourselves, even just I feel also like even just the belief that I am Corinne is, you know, an ego imprisoning thought. So we can look at it, you know, from that level too. So when we imprison anyone, including ourselves, with our judgments, we are no longer identified with truth.
Corinne, I have a question.
Sure.
This is just a thought. I don't know. I guess it's a question, but it's interesting you say that, because I'm like, so I'm thinking about, like, when we give over ourselves to the Holy Spirit, right, we are able to, like he's able to interpret messages through us, and, like, whatever the lesson is or the messages can come out through us authentically. Mm-hmm. So what you're saying with not identifying, right, So we don't have to identify. If we don't identify, does that still allow the Holy Spirit to work through us? Like, does the identification stop him from working through us? Or can we just, I guess what I'm thinking is this, like, if I think of myself as, okay, I'm cloudy, I'm small, this is how I talk, blah, 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 you know, that might what you're saying, imprison me, because then I think that he can only work through me in a particular way. Mm-hmm. But then, if I release, it is true, though, that the Holy Spirit will work through us authentically through us, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
I can't deliver the message that you can deliver, for example. So do you see what, like, I'm trying to say? Like, is that imprisoning, or is that just complete? Like, is that just like, okay, work through me? Like, that prayer of, like, I'm here to be truly helpful, you know what I mean? Like, when I say that, it's like, okay, you can just work through me. But it doesn't require me thinking of myself as myself. I guess that's my question.
I think I understand your
question. I don't
know
if you understand what I'm saying, but I'm like,
two things come to mind, and one is this.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, you know, let's keep it real. I wake up every morning thinking I'm Corinne, you know, like
right.
Identification is a slow, at least in my experience, undoing and, a building of trust in what our true identification is. So in that
right.
place where we don't yet have both of our feet in the Holy Spirit's canoe, like, you know, we're still sort of straddled
mm-hmm.
between one foot in the ego's canoe and one foot in the Holy Spirit's canoe, we can definitely have those moments of Spirit speaking through us, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, that's when we're in right-mindedness, when we're more in our right minds, but we're just as perhaps, you know, still as susceptible to being in wrong-mindedness and being blocked.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a vacillation there, I feel like, for majority of us, for a while, as we continue to develop our trust, until we, you know, vacillate less and less, and, you know, feel really firm with putting both of our feet in the Holy Spirit's canoe. So, so I don't know if that answers your question. That, like, yes, I feel like even when we are identified, you know, as our small selves, we still have these moments, though, of not identifying with the small self and absolutely letting Spirit speak through us. But we, you know, we can still be vacillating for quite some time. It's when, you know, I like to use Nook Sanchez as an example. She says that she feels that there's very little of Nook left, because of just the depth of the amount, you know, of work that she's done in allowing herself to accept the atonement for herself. So, and Spirit speaks through her to me loud and clear. So, does that answer your question?
Yeah, I guess I'm still wondering about it, because I guess I still feel like, is it, because I guess my understanding also is that, though, whoever, whatever we are in the moment, I guess I'm thinking, even if there's the, okay, say even if I'm identifying, if I'm able to surrender that thought, then I feel like the Holy Spirit, from my understanding, can still interpret it and make it something beneficial or something that is for the healing of everyone. I guess that's
yes.
the part that I'm thinking about.
That's,
right?
Yeah.
Like, even if,
yes.
Right. Because I feel like that's the part you're saying can vacillate, that if I get identified and I don't release and the ego comes in, then it becomes disastrous. But if I identify but I'm able to release it and be like, okay, I get that today, like you're saying, yes, I wake up and I think I'm cloudy. But if I'm able to release that to, like, okay, I'm cloudy, but do with cloudy what you will, then I feel like, okay, but you can work through me and I'm not in the two canoes. I'm just in the one canoe, which is I'm released to work through me, and however that comes out, it comes out.
A couple things came up for me just as you were talking, and the first is that we have to be, you know, where we are at. So, you know, whatever it is
right.
that we are saying, we're going to say it, and we can still give it to Spirit, which is exactly what you're saying. And the second part
mm-hmm.
that I would add is that it goes back to how we lovingly refer to page 90 in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition. I must have decided wrong, because I'm not at peace. There's a line in that prayer that says, the Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences of my wrong decision if I will let him. So even if we're speaking something that's,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
perhaps not truth or not in alignment, you know, we're still handing that over, you know, the Holy Spirit is still going to undo, you know, what's false in that, and, you know, preserve only the truth for us. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense.
Just to add to what you were saying, Corinne, there's a lesson in the Course that has really helped me with this issue of having your feet in two canoes. because the Course basically says we're going to have those moments where we feel like we're a body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it acknowledges that. But it's one of the lessons that says, my mind is part of God's. I am very holy. I watched a video by Earl Purdy, and he was talking about what Paula was talking about a few weeks ago by replacing the word God with the word love.
Mm.
And replacing the word holy with the word innocent. So
with the word what?
Innocent.
Innocent.
So if you take that lesson again, it says my mind is part of God. So my mind is part of love. I am very innocent.
Mm.
So even when you feel like you show up as a body,
mm-hmm.
and you're identifying with the ego, it doesn't matter. Because your mind is part of love, you are very innocent.
That's awesome.
Gorgeous.
Awesome.
That was a YouTube video by Earl Purdy, and
it was very
transforming for me.
Wow. Earl Purdy YouTube. I gotta look that up. I love that too, Deidre. You also said too that, like, you know, even if we are like showing up, I forget your exact words, just as our, you know, our small self, our ego, like it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You said, I heard you say it doesn't matter. You're absolutely right. Like it doesn't.
We won't keep that part.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Course even says that. I'm not sure what line it is, but it says something about you have these thoughts, but none you will keep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter.
Right, you're absolutely right. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Oh, thank you. Shall we tackle another paragraph?
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Trinity, I think this is where we are, right? Yes. The Holy Trinity is holy because it is one. If you exclude yourself from this union, you are perceiving the Holy Trinity as separated. You must be included in it because it is everything. Unless you take your place in it and fulfill your function as part of it, it is as bereft as you are. No part of it can be imprisoned if its truth is to be known. Can you be separated from your identification and be at peace? Dissociation is not a solution. It is a delusion. The delusional believe that truth will assail them, and so they do not see it because they prefer the delusion. Judging truth as something they do not want, they perceive deception and block knowledge. So we, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, we are included in that Trinity.
Right, again, so the innocent Trinity is innocent because it is one.
I love that.
You know, so it was like really powerful for me just to use that little exercise.
I love that.
Say it again.
The first sentence of that paragraph we just read.
The innocent Trinity is innocent because it is one.
They were substituting the word innocent.
The innocent
Trinity
is
innocent because it is one. Or even the Holy Trinity is innocent because it is one.
Wow. You know, that when I was growing up in parochial school, they always referred to the Trinity as the mystery of faith. And this book takes all the mystery out of it. It's not mysterious at all.
Right, it's not mysterious.
It's so obvious.
That's right. It's achievable, too. It's not out of our reach.
And achievable, yes.
Right, because like if you go a few lines down and it says you must be included in it because you are also innocent, right?
Mm.
Yes.
So isn't that huge? Like, I was just like... Wow. Thank you, Earl Purdy.
That's awesome. And thank you, Deidre, for also being
here. Yes. Oh, man.
I'll read the next paragraph, too. Help them by offering them your unified will on their behalf, as I am offering you mine on yours. I'm going to read that one more time. Help them by offering them your unified will on their behalf, as I am offering you mine on yours. Alone, we can do nothing, but together, our wills fuse into something whose power is far beyond the power of its separate parts. By not being separate, the will of God is established in ours and as ours. This will is invincible because it is undivided. The undivided will of the Sonship is the perfect Creator, being wholly in the likeness of God, whose will it is. You cannot be exempt from it if you are to understand what it is and what you are. By separating your will from mine, you are exempting yourself from the will of God, which is yourself. I'm going to read the next paragraph too. Yet to heal is still to make whole. Therefore, to heal is to unite with those who are like you, because perceiving this likeness is to recognize the Father. If your perfection is in Him and only Him, how can you know it without recognizing Him? The recognition of God is the recognition of yourself. There is no separation of God and His creation. You will learn this as you learn that there is no separation of your will and mine. Let the love of God shine upon you by your acceptance of me. My reality is yours and His. By joining your will with mine, you are signifying your awareness that the will of God is one. I'll pause there. Any thoughts? Any sentences that stand out?
My mind is going to that other part of the course that says something about in them you will, as you see them, you will see yourself. You know what I mean? Talking
yep.
about
mm-hmm.
that part.
As you will see them, you will see yourself. As you treat them, you will treat yourself, because in them you will find yourself or lose yourself,
maybe
something like that.
Yourself.
Yeah. And that has helped me have compassion for people in situations where it's been quite honestly difficult.
Mm-hmm.
That has really helped me. because a person who is, you know, happy could never treat another person, you know, or inflict
right.
pain or anything. So that just goes to how they must treat themselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, that has totally flipped the way I used to view things, too.
Well, this part about disassociation is not a solution. It is a delusion. The delusional belief that truth will assail them, and so they do not see it because they prefer the delusion. That's always the problem for any of us when we're in that place of separation.
Definitely. We're delusional.
Judging truth as something they do not want, they perceive deception and block knowledge. That's always it. That's where I'm finding, you know, the Ho'oponopono prayer.
Mm-hmm.
The ego wants to block that. Ooh, it wants to block that. It always comes down to those four lines.
Mm-hmm.
Say them, Corinne. I can't.
I love you.
No, that's it. The order is. Oh, this makes me crazy when I get like this. When
the
I can't
order
remember.
Of the prayer.
Yeah, the prayer.
I've heard
is,
it two different ways. I've heard "I love you," "I'm sorry."
Oh.
please forgive me, thank you.
Right.
And I've also heard
this
anyway,
book.
Anyway, that's the way that I prefer it. I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. Because for me, that I love you just immediately transforms. It's an immediate shift in energy.
This little book says, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm finding that, you know, in situations where I'm getting really, really ticked off, it seems so appropriate. I mean, it kind of helps me shift really fast because, oh, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of really fits so perfectly when you're in that, you know, when you're in that, when you're making that decision to judge another person or to really want to attack them, you know.
Right.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. Please forgive me.
I love you. Thank you.
I love you. Thank you.
Also, I think Spirit knows what we mean no matter what words we use first.
Definitely. Oh, definitely.
I wouldn't worry about it.
It's my own thinking that it helps the way I think.
Sure,
how else to put it?
If there's times where you don't feel that you get it right, Spirit knows what you're talking about anyway.
Yeah.
You don't even
have to form it into words. It's
exactly.
Just that feeling.
There really is something very powerful, though, when you say, I love you, because it really does shift.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So placing that first, I'm sure, is perfectly fine.
Of course.
Yes, absolutely. Either way. Of course.
You can just think it or feel it.
Yep, and not even say the words. All right, well, we're at the top of the hour. Thank you, everyone, for coming.
Oh, as always,
we'll resume next week.
Wonderful.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.